Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Early Line. Live with you on Sports Grid on this Thursday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside as well. And Donnie, want to get to some of the NFL news and notes. And I want to talk first about Odell Beckham Jr. And OBJ has been a polarizing player really since he entered this league here. We've seen the talent and has been abundantly clear since day one. But he's also dealt with a lot of injuries. And he's also dealt with some growing narratives that teams basically are better off without him. It's really interesting to me that he was a game-time decision up until an hour out from their game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And now, a couple days out of their game against the Houston Texans, they've already ruled out Odell Beckham Jr. What is your read on this situation?
It's an interesting one because I like what's going on in Cleveland here. We're not rushing back. You lost the opening day. You should have won that game against Kansas City, but you're coming home. And this isn't like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Buffalo Bills are coming to town. You can't go 0-2. You have a 2-touchdown roughly favorite in that game, being the Cleveland Browns over the Houston Texans. You should win this football game going away. But the bigger, broader picture here, though, is what's actually going on with the rehab for Odell Beckham. Why were we led over the offseason? Everything looks good. He's going to get back to camp. And, you know, Odell Beckham maybe knew this coming ahead of time, because if you saw some of the reports coming out of Berea, which is where they practice the Cleveland Browns, he wasn't talking to the media. I'm going to let my talking, you know, basically be my play on the field. So that's really weird. Odell Beckham usually likes the camera and get in front of it. So maybe he didn't want to hype himself up knowing that his knee was not ready. But the information was that he was expected to play week one. The reason why they took everything so slow is to make sure he got to the starting gate and he would be okay. Then do we anticipate him running 50 routes in that game and playing the entire way? Probably not. But the fact that it looked like it was just one of those foregone conclusions where he would practice during the week and, you know, let's give him one last run up on Sunday. But even if he wasn't fully healthy and ready to take 80 snaps in a football game, he would be healthy enough to run 15, 20 plays, have a couple packages put in for himself, keep him out of the middle of the field, you know, more running straight routes down the field, maybe deep post, skinny post, corner routes, something like that, or even fades. But now you look at him saying, okay, what happened in that warm-up on Sunday, Kevin? Where he said, you know what, my knee just isn't right. And this isn't like, hey, my shoulder's a little bit banged up, I'm sore, I'm bruised on my legs. This is a ligament injury, which is dangerous stuff. So then also you work out on Sunday, didn't go well. Immediately that sends up red flags to me. But now, Kevin, you get back into, you know, the practice week, and he's immediately ruled out. This wasn't one where we're talking about the Kawhi Leonard we joked about. He tore his ACL, and they're telling us, hey, he might be available next week. And, oh, look, Kawhi's up in the box watching the game. Wonder if he plays tomorrow night. No, he had a torn knee ligament. So now you're looking at Odell Beckham. Maybe he's not all the way back. But if you're being ruled out this early, Kevin, this doesn't have a bright spot for me saying, oh, well, now he's going to target week three to come back. This looks like this might linger for longer than we thought it would have.
It is hard, though, for me, Donnie, not to read. We're playing the best team in the NFL. Maybe you can play. We're playing what's supposed to be the worst team in the NFL. We don't need you out there. That's what jumps off the page to me. Because, again, even if he wasn't going to be able to make the field this week against the Texans, you would think that he would have that same opportunity to get out, work on the field before the game, and see how he feels. It looks like they wanted to take that away from him and make sure that he had a full week's rest before they even consider getting him back out there on the field. We'll bring the radio audience into the fold here. Appreciate all those who are listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Thursday morning. But I want to bring up another point, Donnie, before we move past Odell Beckham Jr., because again, I mentioned the fact that he is polarizing. There are some folks who think that the Cleveland Browns would be better off trading Odell Beckham Jr., who think that they are hurt by Odell Beckham Jr. Last year, I'm removing the game against Cincinnati where he played like a snap and then was injured for the remainder of the season, which means he had six games last year. And in those six games, he had 23 catches, over 300 yards, three touchdowns, a monster game against the Dallas Cowboys. And as a football team, they were 4-2. And in their four wins, they scored 30 or more points in all of them. I'll be honest with you, Donnie. I think people have continually overthought this Odell thing. He is an incredibly talented player who just needs to be out there on the field. But are you somebody who sees it differently and thinks that any team is better off without Odell Beckham?
No, I don't. And I think that's ludicrous here. You're supposed to stack talent on football teams, not give talent away. And if you say that to those people that say, well, maybe you should trade him, what are you trading him for? He's a big money player. It's not, what are you going to get back, a fourth round draft pick? So I ask you this question back, like rhetorical. Would you rather have a fourth round pick or Odell Beckham playing football for your team that you think you can do some damage in the AFC? It's pretty easy for me. Now, you can put on your haters hat, and, you know, me being an Eagles fan, love the fact he got traded away from the Giants because he was destruction, terror, and mayhem on secondaries, and he seemed like he always did it to the Philadelphia Eagles. So, but they are a better football team when he's out there on the field. Jarvis Landry is a better wide receiver when Odell Beckham is out there on the field. Now, do you have to placate him? Do you have to play nice with him? Do you have to get him involved early? I understand that. But if you're telling me a defensive coordinator during the week, Kevin, is saying like, oh, man, I love the fact that Odell's playing this week. This is going to be so easy. Absolutely not. Ask people around football. Would you rather go game plan against him when he's in or not in? Come on now. It's a simple question. Odell makes the Cleveland Browns better.
And again, in year one in Cleveland, he had a 1,000-yard receiver on what was a really down season. 1,000-yard receiver. Still legitimately one of the more talented players at the position. I totally agree, Donnie. They are better off with him out there. It'll be interesting to see when he does get back out there. Next, we got to talk a little bit more about DeMarcus Lawrence and what his absence means for the Dallas Cowboys season. Come on back. We're keeping it on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on Sports Grid. And Donnie, the Dallas Cowboys are not off the way they wanted things to go here. They had a legitimate chance to beat the defending Super Bowl champions in their opening game of the season. But fair to say, their defense let them down once again, although they did, you know, force a couple of turnovers. Force, though, I might be using a little bit loosely there, given some turnovers, perhaps a more accurate description. Well, they've now lost Marcus Lawrence for the better part of the season, is how it was described, 6 to 8 weeks. You'll see that their game against the LA Chargers, which was sitting around a 2.5 number, is now a 3.5 number, which you cannot overstate how big of a move that is for a spread. And things in Dallas look a little bleak, yet we were talking earlier in the show, Donnie, about NFC East odds, and it suggests that they're still the class of the NFC East.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we have to get into here with the Dallas Cowboys, because also you want to temper the expectations off of what you thought for the preseason as well. If I would have told you coming into the season, Kevin, forget the injuries, forget anything here, the Dallas Cowboys would lose on the road opening night at Tampa Bay and also lose against the Chargers on the road week two, we probably would have said, what? That's probably going to happen here, and it's a legitimate chance that it still does happen. But looking at the injury here for the Cowboys, it's like the worst. Look, obviously you don't want to lose guys on your offensive line. Suspension of Lyle Collins for 5 weeks, that certainly doesn't help out at all either. So now you're coming into a football game where you have a legitimate team in the Chargers, very good on defense, very good on offense, you know, new head coach, which I love the fact. And real quick, before we talk about that, let me just handicap this thing on DeMarcus Lawrence and what I think. This is a big man, Kevin. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that plays on turf the majority of his games because they play in Dallas on turf. So if you're taking a look at 6 to 8 weeks here on a guy built off explosion and getting off of the football, this has a devastating effect. Because sometimes, Kevin, when you have like a shoulder injury, you have a, you know, an arm injury, a hand injury, you can still work out. You can still stay in cardio shape. You break your foot here and have to get surgery for it. What is your level of athleticism going to be over the next couple weeks here as you slowly ramp up? So this 6 to 8 weeks turn out to be 8 to 10 weeks or longer, or is it going to be one of those Quentin Nelson, Carson Wentz is like, hey, this went really well, and we saw him back in 3 to 3.5 weeks, and the rehab process is going well. This is one of those injuries where you look at saying, the secondary not good. We need to get a pass rush to make up for our secondary. We just lost our best pass rusher. That is a devastating effect on the Cowboys, but I do, as I said, temper the expectations here on what we actually had on the season. Because I thought they would start out 0-2 as is. Maybe that big game now turns into the following week, Kevin, at home in Dallas versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's really, really interesting now because the way that this season started looked just like last year. Dak Prescott being wonderful for this team, making big-time throws and big-time plays that kept them competitive wire to wire, seemingly, when they were out there on the field. That's exactly what happened against the Bucs. But their defense still looked like Swiss cheese. I mean, again, the Bucs put up 31 points in that game and had 2 fumbles and 2 interceptions. Like, that shouldn't really be possible, Donnie, where you, if you turn the football over 4 different times, and I know that they, you know, one of the Brady picks was the final play of the half, but the point still stands here, is that defense looks as bad as ever. And now you lose DeMarcus Lawrence. And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. Last year, Donnie, the expectation was healthy Dak, they run away with the division. Except when they had a healthy Dak, they won 1 football game out of the 4 that he had started and finished. And that one game was an improbable comeback down 20 points in the 4th quarter against an Atlanta Falcons team there. I am not sure that just because they have one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, which they do have one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL, and no one else in the NFC East can even remotely say anything near that, right? I don't know if that means that they're going to win a division here. I don't know if it is, Donnie, and yes, it's going to take somebody else to step up, but it might be fair to say that they are checking in with at least a bottom 5 defense in the NFL, and it is hard to win when that is the case week in and week out.
You're correct, and I always do like to play devil's advocate here. What else if we said, you know, the defense held in that last minute and they ended up beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They lose to the Chargers. You got 3 straight home games here, Kevin. Philadelphia Eagles, Carolina Panthers, and New York Giants. You could do some damage and hold off the storm here because, you know, talking about the NFC East at the beginning of the show, I don't think it's going to be a fantastic division where the winner is ending up 12-5 here in our new 17-game schedule. But just looking at the Dallas Cowboys, now you're turning a lot to Micah Parsons, who was a great draft pick here. When you're trying to improve your defense, get the most explosive player in the defensive draft. That always makes sense. But now you see, even coming into this game, Randy Gregory on the COVID list, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence out. You're leaning a lot on a rookie that's just trying to make his way around the NFL, particularly in week 1 when we saw him against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I sent a tweet out, said, boy, he looks really lost out here, and Tom Brady's eating him alive in the passing game. Maybe he can make that turn the corner, and also that extra time, that sort of mini buy that you get off of that Thursday night football game. But devastating news here early on in the season. It doesn't get any better, as we said, Kevin. Just because you get a big injury, it's like, whoo, thank goodness, that's our one injury for the year. They can pile up quickly.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other question, though, now, Donnie, is you've made this point a lot of times to the people. The team total wagers that you like to make, I know week 3 kind of is that big turning point for you. So you're not necessarily going to get to your favorites, you know, here in the 2nd week of the season. But I know there's still some that jump out. Feels like Dallas is probably going to continue to meet your criteria. Look at this game here against the Chargers. It's a monster total of 55.5, but they're the underdogs in the game. Their team total, 26 and a half if they're going to have to throw and score to have any shout at winning or even just staying competitive, then the Dallas Cowboys can once again potentially just be over machines, Donnie, in the way that they have been with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's wild, too. When you even take a look at the Chargers team total, which is 30, which essentially means you got to get 31-plus points in this to cash a ticket, which is crazy because do I like the offense for the Chargers? Absolutely, I do. But they're not really that big play offense. But it just goes to show you the talent level that we have left now in the Dallas defense where teams are lining up with team totals of 30s. But your point is very astute because I look at the opposite side. When I see the Dallas Cowboys here have an injured defense, the light bulb goes off in my head, not because I want to take the Dallas Cowboys at a depressed number. Hey, they're getting, 6.5 points now in X football game. No, I look right to the offense because if you look into the room and you say this week where the Dallas Cowboys are going to take the football field against the Chargers, what are they saying? Let's keep the ball on the ground. Let's slow the game down. No, they're saying we have to go nuclear in this football game to try to hang around. You saw it opening night against one of the better defenses in the NFL, Todd Bowles-led Tampa Bay defense. They looked fantastic on offense. Now, Michael Gallup is down, which is a nice added piece here to that three-ring circus, I like to call it, at wide receiver, which they are so talented when they're on the field with Dak Prescott. But you're looking at that 26.5 number. That certainly sticks out. That's a very good defense for the Chargers, but they just played a very good defense in the Buccaneers. A little bit too pricey for me right now here, Kevin, but I could see it happening where the Chargers are moving the football and the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to slow the tempo down here. They are going to need to score.
I'll also say that for in-game wagering, the Dallas Cowboys are a wonderful team because if all of a sudden they're down by double digits, live player props on Dak Prescott over pass attempts. They just basically can't set the numbers high enough. The guy threw the football 58 times in week one or over yards makes sense, or simply just over a live team total for the Dallas Cowboys can make all of the sense in the world. And I'll let you know before we hit the break, live wagering in play sports tonight, Thursday night football, myself and Donnie Wrightside on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern time, gives us an opportunity to break down that full first half of action, live player props, the whole deal, which is very exciting. We'll talk more Thursday night football in this hour, but up next, how about a Major League Baseball preview? Go through this Thursday card. Keep it right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here, and let's rip through a Major League Baseball board that is still going to certainly provide some opportunities. I like that on a Thursday, you've got your earlier games. That way you can kind of get a full day of wagering, and then when, Tigers-Rays starts, you don't have to worry about it because you've already been playing around with, your Rockies-Braves or your Reds-Pirates games, and we can get to those, but I want to quickly start, Donnie, with A's-Royals here because we've now seen these teams put up some runs in some of their recent performances. Blackburn against Lynch gives us a total of 9.5, and just, on my eyesight alone, that -120 number that I see right now on Oakland jumps off as a bit of a short price for what is supposed to be a, contending team against a KC squad. But when you go through the matchups here, what makes sense to you?
Yeah, if we're taking a look, one team has to win, one team doesn't really care. But we've seen so many times in Major League Baseball, look at all these bad baseball teams knocking off teams trying to get back into the wild card race. So we take a look at this game between Kansas City and Oakland that's going to get underway at 2:10 Eastern here. Bad pitching. Bad pitching is what settles in, Kevin. I like to play team totals. I like to look for the over, see if we have an opportunity to cash in some tickets that way. But I got to tell you, I like the over for the game as well here because the pitching isn't great on either side. Let's profile here the Oakland Athletics because they need to win this game. If they have any 2.5 weeks left in the season, they better start doing some damage here and wake up from their slumber. So if we look at the last 30 days, Lynch is on the mound, a young lefty for the Kansas City Royals, a 5.79 xFIP number, Kevin. Not a big strikeout guy, maybe walks a little bit too many batters, but the key ingredient here is he is a lefty and he struggles with getting righties out. 78 batters he's faced over the past 30 days from the right side. 398 weighted on base percentage, coupled with a 250 ISO power number. Is it a great looking lineup for Oakland today? Not necessarily. Right-handed batter Harrison, right-handed batter Marte, Chapman, Gomes, Canha, Davis, Pinder, Andrews. Only one lefty anticipated being in the lineup. You're going to get a full 9 at-bats here from Oakland no matter what happens. But flip it over to the Kansas City side here. Blackburn, not a great pitcher, 4.62 xFIP over the past 30 days. And take a look at his weighted on-base averages, Kevin, to both lefties and righty. Blackburn being a right-handed pitcher to lefties, a 377 weighted on-base percentage. To righties, a 345. Do I love, again, the Kansas City Royals lineup? No, I don't. But these two pitchers should be able to surrender some runs today. The Oakland Athletics really need this game. Can they win? I'm not so sure, but I do like their team total and also the game total as well.
I'm really interested to see if Oakland has another run in them, because this is a team that opened the season up with a series against the Astros and then another against the Dodgers. They looked absolutely horrific, and it looked like it wasn't going to be their year. They responded by, I believe, winning 13 games in a row, and they had themselves in prime position when we hit the All-Star break to be one of the two wild card teams. And every single time, Donnie, it feels like they start to put together a couple of good results, they go and they give them right on back. This team needs a streak. It feels like it has been forever since they have won a series. They need to close the deal here against the Kansas City Royals and find themselves some legitimate momentum. The earliest start date on today's card, Donnie, is Rockies Braves. German Marquez gets the ball against Ian Anderson. A very low total right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook was 8.5. Now coming on down to an 8 here. The Rockies have been trying to help out the NL East teams to give them a shout to catch this Atlanta squad. The Braves seemingly are now not playing some great baseball here, but can they bounce back and get a noon-ish start time victory against Colorado?
I mean, they really need it here. But then again, do they really need it, Kevin? Because nobody else in the NL East is really chasing here. The Phillies are basically win one, lose one against really bad baseball teams. The Mets look like they've completely gone in the tank. So maybe the Atlanta Braves don't have that much pressure they're playing under. But let's take a look at the pitching matchup today. And you're right, an early game start, which, hey, sometimes those players' body clocks aren't ready to take the field that early, used to playing at night. Ian Anderson over the past month here, not a very good pitcher here. XFIP 6.69, striking out only about 14% of the batters that he's faced. And also, how about this one? Walking 14% of the batters that he's faced. That's why that XFIP number is so high. But also keep in mind, lefty and righty splits here, both elevated as well. 353 weighted on base percentage, Kevin, to lefties at the plate. And to righties, a 386. It seems like Colorado has the NL East right in their target range here, because if you look at the anticipated lineup today over the past 30 days for Colorado going up against right-handed pitching, it looks fairly good. Blackman, take a look at these ISO power numbers. After you get through Tapia and Rogers, who have struggled against right-handed pitching for the past month, it gets improved. Blackman, 239. Story, 294. Crone, 386. McMahon, 270. Diaz, 298. And Hampson, 280? Looks like they can do some damage here. But then on the flip side, when you take a look at that Atlanta lineup that we know and love, particularly hitting in Atlanta, going up against German Marquez, who has struggled against lefties in the lineup. But the only problem here is you're going to get a heavy dose of righties here. So the lineup that looks good versus right-handed pitching over the past 30 days for the Atlanta Braves heading into this one, they got some good numbers. Albies, 250. Soler, 250. Freeman, 281. Riley, 242. Duvall, 525. And D'Arnaud, 227. Keep in mind, a 0.165 to 0.170 is a good number of an ISO power number. Those first six batters are elevated here. I think we get some runs here as well, but don't leave out, once again, the Colorado Rockies having a chance in this game, because they should be able to hit as well.
I want to quickly, Donnie, just bring up the odds to win the NL East right now. -550 on the Atlanta Braves. The Philadelphia Phillies checking in at +440. And the Mets now fallen all the way down to 19-1. The interesting thing is what this weekend is going to bring, if we can just look ahead for a moment. Because Atlanta, when they finish up with Colorado, heads west. Three against the Giants, four against Arizona. I know it's Arizona, still a West Coast trip there. And three against the San Diego Padres. The Phillies and the Mets are about to begin a weekend series against one another. It feels like, Donnie, this is truly set to be this last hurrah here, specifically for the Phillies. I hate to leave the Mets dead in the water, but you get swept at home against the St. Louis team that you're competing with for one of these spots. It's hard to take you serious here, because the best thing, Donnie, is that first Atlanta series back home is against the Phils. If anybody is out there believes that Philadelphia, if you can put the right results up, and maybe the right results are basically, you know, just win a series, plus 440 could still make some sense here, Donnie, on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
And I hope it makes sense, because me being a Phillies fan, it would be a lot of fun for that to make sense. But you watched again last night. You have a lead late. The bullpen gives it up. The bullpen will give it up every night. And you are in a race, Kevin, to try to get into that last wild card position. And you're playing the Cubs today, who you should crush, but seemingly having trouble with. And in the middle of it, are you getting Aaron Nola? Nope. You getting Wheeler on the mound? Nope. You getting a really good pitcher on the mound? Absolutely not. You're getting Adonis Medina on the mound today for the Phillies, trying to make their way into the playoffs. So as much as you said, and I agree with, the Atlanta Braves going out on the road, this is the time for the Phillies. No. The time for the Phillies was right around September 1st when they started playing all these bad baseball teams. And you said, now, wait a second here. They're not only are they not sweeping teams and winning series, they're losing series to bottom feeder teams. So what gives me the advantage to say, hey, just because the Braves have a tough schedule and the Phillies have a little bit easier, they can't beat these average teams. It's like it's Bryce Harper or nothing out there. You have a lead after five innings. You better have a seven-run lead, because that bullpen's going to give it up nightly. And it doesn't matter. It's equal opportunity in the Phillies bullpen for getting damage all the way around. It's like, oh, man, we finally got the Archie Bradley. Nope. Oh, we finally got the Alvarado. Nope. Oh, Hector Neris. Oh, no. And Ian Kennedy gives up constant home runs in the ninth inning every single time he is out there. So my meter on the Phillies, which should be rising, saying, hey, they can get back into it. I've told you now for a month and a half, Kevin, the Atlanta Braves, when they were three games back of the Philadelphia Phillies, they're going to win this division. I'm going to say it today on September 16th. They're going to win the division.
The Philadelphia Phillies' remaining baseball games, finish it up with the Cubs, three against the Mets, three against the Orioles, four against the Pirates, three against Atlanta, and three against the Marlins. It has never been more in your own hands than it is for the Philadelphia Phillies. They play three games apiece against the Mets and the Braves. You got to beat those teams in front of you or behind you. And then legitimately, Donnie, three of the absolute worst teams baseball has to offer. And yet somehow they're going to split that four-game series at home against the Pirates. And it is going to be a miserable scene for the Phils.
That's the way it seems, right? And it's not even like the fact that they probably get beat like bad. It would be the fact that they're up like 5-4 in every one of those games and collapsing in the bullpen to make it extra excruciating. All you had to do was beat the Marlins. All you had to do was beat the Orioles. Good luck on that one. I just hope the Phillies can win a series against those baseball teams. And it shouldn't be that way. You should roll these teams. You should split with the Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Like, lose one series, win one series, beat down these bad baseball teams. But the Phillies, it was all in front of them, Kevin, for the past month and a half. Now it seems like it's all behind them at this point.
Donnie, quickly, with only a couple of moments left here, the Yanks tonight have a team total of six. They're playing the Baltimore Orioles. Anytime you see the Orioles, you should be willing to bet team totals and sleep comfortably, except the Yankees make even games where they get there an absolute nightmare, it feels like, for overbackers here. Is tonight a night to get involved with the Yanks?
Possibly. 5.72 ERA for Ellis on the mound. But here's the interesting part, Kevin. Faced a roughly 100 batters or so over the past 30 days. That's really good splits here. Weighted on base percentage of lefties, a 214. How about the righties? 291. ISO power numbers, both low as well. Maybe a late game, in-game play here for the Yankees if they have one after five.
You know what's perfect is with this 5 o'clock start, we'll be able to talk about the Yankees only having a run on the board before Thursday night football, and I'll still be tortured by this team. Speaking of Thursday night football, we get back to our breakdown of Washington and New York next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, folks, let's do it. 20 minutes on the gun on a Thursday. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside with you on the early line. Giants football team, Giants versus the football team. Yeah, boy. This Presidents, the Galaxies, what was the name that they were going to go? What happened, Donnie, to the pick in the name?
The Monuments.
What happened?
It's one of my favorite topics here that's being spun around here because you have – and then my favorite part, though, is you have the eight finalists. But they're not the eight finalists. Oh, yes, they are the eight finalists. No, 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 they're not the eight finalists. But I got to tell you, Kevin, if it winds up with one name called the football team, we might have to spend 2 full hours here on the early line digressing in what's going on down in Washington. It can't end up that way. I'll lose my mind, and I shouldn't have to lose my mind over something like this.
But, like, hasn't it already – like resulted in the football, like that's what they are right now. Like they've had so long to figure this out. They're the football team. This is where we are, Donnie. The football team. It's terrible.
I need fines out here. I need fines. I need things to change. Now I did hear the other moniker, which they're saying like, well, they're going to leave it in place because if they have a good year, they'll have no choice but to stay the football team. So destruction, mayhem, and terror. Please happen there on the Washington football team this year, just so they don't have that name. Like, I would actually like it. I'm like, hey, the Washington Guardians. I'm like, you know what? At least it's a nickname. I can't go on life, Kevin, calling like, okay, let's match up the Giants and the football team. That just sounds ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I can't. The Red Wolves coming to a town near you. The Red Wolves are 3.5-point favorites tonight against the Giants. The total is 40.5, but I want to go back, Donnie, to the player props because you were diving through an interesting market on the FanDuel Sportsbook there. Weekly specials is the tab, and what you can actually do is bet over under fantasy points. Now, I know there's, I'm sure, a lot of you watching who are fantasy players, and this could be right up your alley. Certainly keep in mind, this is FanDuel scoring. Half point per reception is a key note to make. And Donnie, I know that specific little note there is something that caught your eye in terms of comparing the legit player props to these weekly specials.
Exactly, because the one prop that I do like in this game, we talked about some running back props, which I think makes sense. Obviously, like not even a running back prop, but like a rushing prop. Daniel Jones over the 20.5 rushing yards, I think that makes sense. But if we're going from a wide receiver perspective on this one, Sterling Shepard over 54.5 yards makes a lot of sense to me. He has that feeling, like, you know, you talk about like Boyd out in Cincinnati, just a steady guy. Like, he doesn't have to go deep. You know, it doesn't have to be involved all that much, but you know he's set up for that 3 to 5 catch range, and you would be shocked if he did anything less. That's a normal game, but if he does get close to 100 yards, something doable that you can certainly see in the near future, which is the game tonight. But also taking a look at some intricacies of how to try to bet these things. If I like the 54.5, I thought it was interesting to see on the FanDuel Sportsbook that you can sort of bet using fantasy football as well. But the one thing that sticks out here, the difference between the FanDuel Sportsbook and some other outlets here, is the catches. Some grade each catches one full point, but the FanDuel Sportsbook grades that as a half of a point. So the question comes up, which is actually the better play here? Over 54.5 yards, which means 55 is going to be able to catch that ticket, or getting over 8.5 fantasy points in this game. And I think the deterrent for me, Kevin, the reason why I do like just the over prop itself at the 54 yards as opposed to the 8.5. Now, keep in mind, you score a touchdown here, Kevin. That's a 6 spot on the board, and you're going to be in there roughly with a W. But if I'm going with what makes sense the least amount would be for me to go with the over 54.5. Because if you get, Kevin, what, 4 catches in this game for 50 yards, If you could do the math in that one, that equates to only 7 points. So you add another 10 yeah. yards there and another catch, you still got to get that 9 total points in order to cash the ticket. So if I'm looking at an equation where 4 catches for 60 yards could be a legitimate number here for Sterling Shepard, that's the way I would go in this to cash that over 54 and a half. But if you did have that price point here, which included 1 point for reception, it'd be a no-brainer for me to take the over 8.5 here on Shepard. But also keep in mind, as I said, the boon is if he scores a touchdown, it's all obsolete. He's going to go over no matter what with that 8.5. Yep. Unless he had 1 catch for 7 yards and a touchdown, something like that. So from I'm looking from a betting perspective myself, just to be safe, I'm not going to worry about all the additives and how many catches he gets. Just let me focus on that over 54.5, which I do think Sterling Shepard gets to tonight, Kevin.
And I think, right, too, if you're betting that number because you're like, oh, I like Sterling to score a touchdown tonight. Anytime touchdown score market, get a little bit more player props or a little more juice, rather, excuse me. And I think that could be a little bit more of a favorable way to play it. Don, we've talked a lot about the running backs and the quarterbacks, and we'll circle back to that in a moment. But as far as the receivers go, because you're talking about Sterling Shepard here, it's so interesting because you've got Golladay and Darius Slayton as legitimate shouts there in their passing game. And even on the Washington football side, right, you've got Terry McLaurin. You got Logan Thomas, who we saw getting into to the end zone last week. Diame Brown, Gibson, and J.D. McKissic with props as well. Any pass-catching props that you're taking a look at here for this football game?
Yeah, no, it's interesting, too, because, you know, checking these numbers, Sterling Shepard now showing up 57.5. So that number also on the move as well, up from the 54.5. But no, not necessarily, because if I don't have a big-time offensive game, there's a lot of low numbers here on the board, too. Terry McLaurin, 67.5. Like, man, he should be able to get that. Logan Thomas, 48.5. But even some of the guys farther down the list, you might be taking a look at the running back propositions for receiving yards. J.D. McKissic is an interesting one to me tonight, because if we're thinking at all, you know, Antonio Gibson is even the slightest bit banged up, that probably means more packages for J.D. McKissic. And you know what he likes to do? Catch the football out of the backfield. Just getting to 20 yards, that's 2 screen passes. That's a couple dump offs in the flat here for a young quarterback in Tyler Heinicke. Maybe if he doesn't read through his progression, just wants to get the ball out quickly, you're going to be targeting tight ends and running backs much more. Adam Humphries, 25.5 yards. Even Antonio Gibson at 18.5, a very good pass catcher out of the backfield. I think there is some value on the lower end of the spectrum, Kevin, in the games tonight for both of these teams, whether they be wide receivers or running backs out of the backfield here.
Yeah, I think, Donnie, for me, as I continue to go through these markets, I look at a New York Giants passing attack that has maybe not necessarily sorted itself out because there's a lot of changing parts, right? And I'm not sure if there's anybody necessarily I want to get to the window on from that group. I take a look at the Washington football team, and look, Taylor Heinicke has reps with these guys, but not a lot of reps. Okay, and it's hard for me to necessarily trust what you have on such a limited sample size at this point in time when it comes to Heinicke. But for me, I think I'm going to have to play the Saquon Barkley rushing number that we talked about, Donnie, in hour number one. I don't think I can pass up Saquon Barkley sub 50 rushing yards in a game when I think you are talking about one of the premier home run hitters in this league. Saquon, it's almost, we always talk about the concept of do in sports, right? For example, Kevin Durant goes out there and has a bad shooting night, which is for him is like 42%, where some guys, they'd love that. And you love coming back to KD the next night because he's going to score 30 plus. He's going to be wildly efficient. He doesn't have 2 bad games in a row. I like the idea that I can get Saquon off of a 10 for 26 carry performance because I think the odds are, Donnie, he does pop tonight. He does splash one tonight. I know I could be up against it because of the fact that this guy isn't clearly not 100%, but the number is low enough where I might be able to cash that ticket, Donnie, in the first half and not have to worry enough about it. I'll actually be honest with you, Donnie, I think my goal is to try and cash this ticket here in the first half on Saquon Barkley, a little get-in, get-out special. Maybe it's a little bit risky. Maybe some people would see it as an unnecessary shot on Saquon. But of all the numbers that we look at for this game here from a player props perspective, it's Saquon's 49.5 that entices me the most.
Yeah, it's certainly a low number here, and you're right. You're going to need that one carry for 17 yards to get off started on the right foot here. You don't need those three carries for 6 yards, and hey, maybe let's put him in bubble wrap because he just doesn't have it tonight against this Washington football team. But another interesting market as well tonight, since we do have a low total of 40.5, that touchdown market heats up a little bit. Why? You're not going to have as many, but you are going to get some really good prices. And if you're trying to look at maybe taking a shot at a few players in this one, of course you're going to be looking at wide receivers. It's a passing league. That's what we're talking about. And even if Saquon Barkley here is on a little bit of a pitch count, or maybe even Antonio Gibson, the same thing, maybe they don't get all the carries, but you would figure they would get the goal line. But how about if you just played two players tonight at some decent levels? And what I mean by that is the quarterbacks, two athletic guys, two guys that like to run the football. So last week, Daniel Jones scored a touchdown. If you were to take a flyer on both of the quarterbacks today, currently right now live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Taylor Heinicke, plus 330 to score a touchdown anytime. Daniel Jones, plus 360 to score at any time. So if you put down just a little bit money on both sides, that's a pretty good return if either one of them scores. Now, hey, both of them score. You're really in business here. But I think there's a really good chance that quarterback draw down by the goal line makes a lot of sense for both of these football teams with those athletic quarterbacks. So maybe some sneaky ones where you're looking at running back and wide receiver, a tight end to cash a ticket there. I think both of these athletic quarterbacks have good prices here to score a touchdown tonight.
I really, really like that look. And I also will just say, I think that is a great odds boost. If anybody wants to say either quarterback to be an anytime touchdown score.
We do.
Now, I mean, folks, I mean, come on. Shit. Huh? I mean, give people what they want.
You know what we should do? You know, a little social media today. Say, hey, look, I think a great odds boost at the FanDuel Sportsbook would be. Now, normally, old Donnie right side would get brushed down. Hey, this, you know, look, filtering all these through unverified guys here. Now, we just got this alert here, guys, in the room, as Dave Sharapin would say. I think he makes some sense here. This guy's a pretty sharp guy.
I think we're gonna have to apply the pressure today and see what
two
we can do
from two verified
for
guys?
The people.
Whoa,
how do they?
Pressure.
How do
that's
they stop us?
Press. That's a full court press. I like it.
Now, how do we the thing is, Donna, what price do we? I can't wait for them to post it, and it checks in at like plus 150. Like, wait a minute now, fellas. I think we might be squeezed down here a little bit.
We want the DM from them saying, now, look, we like this. What price would you guys like this to get? I mean, I think we're going to start getting up that level. Another notch up here for us. Sure.
Folks, you see the little thing. It's that, you know, the DRS and K-Dub boost. Just know. You're welcome. Just know that you need to know. Let me ask you quickly, Donnie, the player passing yards numbers here, 245.5 on Heinicke and 236.5 on Daniel Jones. Both feel high, but it's a passing league. So I can't play unders, but I'm not playing overs either. I guess they're passes, but did either one of those make any sense to you?
They do seem a little bit high to me, but my question to you is if you had to pick one of these, Heinicke at 245 or Daniel Jones at 236, it's even hard that you could use, like, hey, you got a free play on this one. I'm going to have to think about this for like 20 minutes. Like, okay, well, Daniel Jones, well, wait a second, going up against Washington. All right, how about Taylor? Well, you know, new starter again this year has got to throw for 250 yards. I guess I would give it to Heinicke just because the defense is a little bit lesser on the side of the New York Giants as opposed to Washington. But, boy, that's a tough question to ask on that one. I would have to take some time to think, maybe lean towards Heinicke getting to 250, but that even sounds like a lot.
Yeah, Jones got to 267 last week, but can they trail for a lot of that football game? Are they going to trail for as much of the football game? I guess you take the quarterback on the team that you anticipate loses the game and hope that you just have enough of a workload there. We take a break right now on the early line. We come back. We give you the final picks, talk a little side, talk a little total, and set you up for what's next as well on the morning after, which will feature yours truly. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to close out the early line here on a Thursday. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Thursday night football is certainly how we will be starting tomorrow's show. A Washington football team, the New York Giants. Donnie, a 3.5-point spread, a 40.5-point total. Side or total, if you feel like you had to pick one of those two, or maybe even a team total there, where would you lean in this football game?
Home team or no team for me in this one. So if we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, -3.5, +102, I'm going to wait for this number. I'm pretty sure during the day you're going to get some -3s with some juice. That's what I'm going to hold out for, but also some of the prop bets that I do like as well. As we talked about, Daniel Jones rushing prop over 20.5 yards. I do like Sterling Shepard over the 54.5, but it has risen there to 57.5, but also rushing and receiving prop here. J.D. McKissic over 30.5 yards combined. I think there's some juice with that one as well. That's the way I'll be looking, but I do like the Washington football team if we can get that -3 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin.
Yeah, for me, and I know, Donnie, you've always said Thursday night football, always look towards the home team, but 3.5 is valuable on the Giants. Daniel Jones is 4-0 straight up against the Washington football team in his career. For some reason, it is the only team that he can seemingly beat. And if you're going to give me 3.5 points against Taylor Heinicke, I think I would have to take it. The total is just not something I can get involved with. I think it is a great live total because it after a quarter of action, you're talking something in the low 30s. There's juice. Or if they come out hot, you can kind of catch the number early enough or expect them to slow down. And we talked about it. We're taking the risk tonight. Saquon Barkley over 49.5 rushing yards. Saquon pops off. And I'll actually add this quickly as well. Saquon's the kind of guy that when he has a good game, he has a big game. An alt rushing number on Saquon, if you can find it for, 80 or 90 yards. Just see if he really hits that home run. I don't mind that either. The Morning After is up next. Keep it here on Sports.
Your wife called.
She wants her husband back.
We told her you were busy. It takes real commitment to get the winning edge.
She seemed upset.
This.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.